This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du. First and foremost, I want to congratulate all my Syrian brothers and sisters. Here we have, alhamdulillah, many of them here, many of them very close and dear friends of mine, and of course all over the world, as well as all the Muslims and all good people everywhere, at the ouster and removal of this shaitan in human form called Bashar al-Assad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish him as he deserves to be punished. We are seeing as time passes and as the days unfold, we are seeing the prisons being opened and stories and scenes of horror that are unbelievable. It's I don't consider it to be a disability of mine that I'm unable to imagine such horrors. I think it's a good thing that I'm unable to imagine such horrors, but completely unimaginable. So, alhamdulillah, congratulations, mubarak, mabruk to all of you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help for all people who are oppressed everywhere. As we speak, the story of Palestine, the story of Gaza continues. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve those people from their suffering as well. We are witnessing history in progress. When we read the accounts of what happened in Syria in the last few days, we can say that we were witness to it. Some of us can say, and I am one of them who can say that about the fall of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, which seemed to be invincible completely. I remember a time when this was the two great forces in the world. One was America, one was the USSR, not Russia. Now, Russia was never an equal force to America. It was the USSR, and it's gone. I remember and people of my age, I'm sure we remember the monarchy in Iran, Reza Shah Pahlavi, the grand coronation that he organized, the ceremony of great pomp and splendor. He and his wife, Reza Shah Pahlavi and Farah Diba, these were there, their two children were there with them. And then we saw many things. I mean, I don't want to make a whole list of it now. And I think in one of my Fajr reminders, I listed all of them. But we saw also regime changes in Egypt and other places, Iraq. The question is, what lessons do we learn? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the way the world works and to look beyond the obvious. When we see events unfolding where those who thought that they were impervious and immune suddenly had to run for their lives and seek refuge, and all their wealth and power could not save them, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and grace in delivering those who were suffering under these and other tyrants and helping them out of their difficulty. Now imagine, if you think of each one of these people, imagine all the power to do good and to leave behind a legacy of honor that they had, given the kind of wealth and the power and the authority and so on that was offered to them, what they could have done. Instead, they did what they did. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Surah Al-Dukhan, كَمْ تَرَكُوا مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ وَزُرُوعٍ وَمَقَامٍ كَرِيمٍ وَنَعْمَةٍ كَانُوا فِيهَا فَاكِهِينَ كَذَلِكَ وَأَوْرَثْنَاهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا كَانُوا مُنظَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, imagine how many gardens and springs and, you know, all the accoutrements of luxury the tyrants left behind, as well as crops and splendid residences, all their palaces and whatnot, and luxuries which they fully enjoyed. So it was, and we awarded it all to another people. Neither heaven nor earth wept over them, nor was their fate delayed. But just a word of caution, given the recent history of regime changes, the Syrian people must beware not to focus on the toppling of statues, because in previous such events, while the people were occupied in celebrations in the streets, their destiny was being sold without their knowledge. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save the people of Syria from this fate. More importantly, we must ask ourselves what we can learn from these events to correct our ways. For this, we have the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I remind myself anew that we see with our knowledge. Where we see beauty in a building, for example, an architect sees the strength of the structure that enables the vaulted ceilings and the flying buttresses. Where we see a person merely as perhaps a bit heavy and out of condition because they start panting if they walk up an incline, a physician sees possibilities of kidney malfunction and congestive heart failure. Where we see rulers and empires rise and fall, a historian sees the material and political reasons for that, while a person of real insight sees the hand of Allah behind the unfolding events. There is a world of difference between sight or vision and insight. One, sight is to see as anyone sees, with eyes that every human and every animal can do this. The other is to see beyond the obvious, to the root cause, the reasons why it happened. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to learn lessons from what He shows us. نَرَى بِعِلْمِنَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ حَيْ لَدَيْهِ الْبَصَرِ وَلَكِنْ رِجَالُ اللَّهِ فَقَطْ هُمْ مِنْ يَمْلِكُونَ الْبَصِيرَةِ الفرق بين البصر والبصيرة هو فرق كبير وبصيرة من قلب منير بنور الله بنور خشية الله تعالى لهذا قال الله تعالى أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فتكون لهم قلوب يعقلون بها أو آذان يسمعون بها فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور. العالة البصيرة الحق القلب سليم. Allah said, have they not traveled through the land so their hearts may reason and their ears may listen? Indeed, it is not the eyes that are blind, but it is the hearts in the chests that grow blind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us many examples of those who He gave power and wealth to and what they did with it. He sent warners to them who tried to correct them, but they were so drunk and intoxicated with what they had that they ignored and killed their messengers instead of thanking them for their guidance. When they had exceeded all limits and lived as if they had eternal lives and were beyond being questioned or called to account, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what He did to them and why. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون فقطع دابر القوم الذين ظلموا والحمد لله رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they became oblivious to the warnings, we showered them with everything they desired. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. The doors of the heavens, the doors from which descend all the blessings of Allah, materially, material things, I don't say these are not blessings, these are tests. The doors which open, from which all of this descends, this door was open. Allah did not say we stop things, no. When they had exceeded their limits, they had been warned and they kept on doing bad over and over again. And we see that literally happening before our eyes in Syria. Allah said when they became oblivious to warnings, we showered them with everything they desired. But just as they became very prideful and full of pride and arrogance and completely engrossed in enjoying and using and misusing all that they had, they were seized, suddenly we seized them and they fell into despair. No chance even to make tawbah. So the wrongdoers were utterly uprooted. فَقُوْتِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Completely cut and uprooted. And all praises for Allah, Rabbul Alameen. Today, as we see what has happened in Syria, we can only marvel at how blind human beings can be. Not to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us about. This is why we need the reminder of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the reality of this life. And we need this reminder again and again and again to read the Quran with understanding and to reflect on it and then look into our own lives to see where we fit in. Remember, these ayat are not only to warn rulers. They apply to every single one of us in our own sphere of power and influence, no matter how small that might be. So before we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or oppress anyone, let us ask for the price tag. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us that this life will end, that we will know who won and who lost only on the day of judgment. The winner of the race is decided only at the end of the race, not during the race. Allah warned us that true success is to be saved from Jahannam and entered into Jannah, and that the life of this world is deceptive. Allah said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah said, every soul will taste death and you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. Whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into paradise, into Jannah, will indeed triumph. Whereas the life of this world is no more than the delusion of enjoyment. I remind myself and you that reality is hidden behind events. See the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, for example. From being the victim of attempted murder, to being sold into slavery, to being wrongfully accused and imprisoned, to being made the ruler of Egypt. The hardships he faced were the training camps and safety nets for his future elevation of status. Each was difficult and painful to bear, but it was his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which comes to anyone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests that kept him going to victory at the end. Take the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is a story again of test after test. From being thrown into the fire to being commanded to leave his wife and their infant only son in a desert valley almost 1,000 miles from their home. 929 miles is the driving distance, Google tells me. To being commanded to slaughter that son in sacrifice when he returned to meet them for the first time after that. The result was that they were given the noble and holy task of building the house of Allah, the Kaaba. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's place of standing was declared a musalla, a place of prayer. The actions of his wife, our mother Hajar, of running between the two hills of Safa and Marwa, and the test that the father and son faced when they had to decide to obey the command of slaughtering and being slaughtered, these were all made the manasik of Hajj. The sacrifice itself was made as a means of khair and barakah for all Muslims until the last day. The water that came out for the use of Ismail alayhi salam and his mother Hajar alayhi salam, Zamzam, continues to this day. Witness to this entire story. A life of obedience of that blessed family to be commemorated in worship until the last day. And the person who goes through that, who reenacts the incidents of that life, he gets a reward and she gets a reward of all their sins forgiven. And they emerge out of that as if they had been born on that day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us Hajj and to forgive all our sins. In contrast, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated the stories of the Pharaoh of Egypt, the ruler of the largest, most powerful empire of the time, of Namrud, of Nimrod, of Babylon, again, one of the great rulers of the time, of Shaddad and Haman and Karun, who were their sidekicks, very wealthy, very powerful nobility, and showed us their modern day counterparts, some of whom still walk the earth, who are remembered only to be cursed and reviled, notwithstanding all their wealth and power and glory. That money can buy them super yachts and private jets and palaces and luxuries and gold-plated cars, but it cannot buy them honor. It cannot buy them gratitude. It cannot buy them love of people. It cannot buy them izzah and ikram and waqar, because those are not for sale. A lesson for those who wish to learn and not live like animals in search of sensations. When you read history, and that is one of the most important reasons to read history, you see kings and empires that are the stuff of legends. Let me share some numbers with you and give you some perspective. West Springfield, this town in Massachusetts, is 17.5 square miles in area. And out of that, 16.8 is the land area. Massachusetts, the state, is 10,500 square miles in area. The United States of America is 3.1 million square miles. Now, we come to the empires. The empires of Alexander, the Roman Empire, and the Ottoman Empire, at their peak, were 4.2 million square miles. So they were The empires of Alexander, the Roman Empire, and the Ottoman Empire, at their peak, were 2 million square miles. The Banu Umayyah, the empire of the Umayyads, which the Abbasids took over, the Abbasids did not actually do any major conquest. So they inherited that empire and they continued with that. That was 4.2 million square miles. So the empire, the Muslim empire of the Banu Umayyah, Banu Abbas, was double the size of the empires of Alexander, the Roman Empire, and the Ottoman Empire. And it was 35% more and bigger than the United States of America. At its peak, the Mongol Empire, started by Genghis Khan and continued by his sons Kublai and Hulegu and so on, and by his sons Hulegu and his grandson Kublai, covered approximately 9 million square miles of territory, making it the largest contiguous land empire in history. That is three times the size of the United States. And finally, the biggest empire in history, the British Empire, that covered 13.7 million square miles, which is about 24% of the world's land area, and it lasted for 400 years. Today, ask the question, where are the kings? Where are these people who created these empires and who ruled these empires? Where is their wealth and power? Aina al-muluk? Aina sarwatu? Wa quwwatu? Aina al-juyush? The reason I'm giving you all these numbers is to underline two things. One, those who ruled these empires were not merely rich because of their stock value in a make-believe share market. They were astronomically wealthy in real terms. Actual gold, silver, precious stones, land, you name it. And on top of that wealth, they had raw power and absolute authority to do absolutely anything they wanted. They had armies which could wipe out nations and did. They could order the annihilation of entire populations and they did. They could take away people's wealth and liberty and lives and they did. Yet, where are they today? Where are they today? They are in the same place where you and I will be one day. Where is their wealth and power? How come all that wealth and all that power could not save them from death, from meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All that remains today of the Mongol Empire, absolute rule over 9 million square miles, is one stone turtle-shaped pillar base from the city of Karakoram. And of the British Empire, they used to say the sun never sets over the British Empire. And as somebody quipped and said, because even God doesn't trust them, doesn't leave them in the dark. Of that British Empire, the relic is a monarch who has as much power as the king in a deck of cards. تبارك الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself, and I remind myself and you about this. قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, Lord over all authorities, you give authority and power to whoever you wish. You give land, you give government, You give authority to whoever you please and you remove it and you take it away from whoever you please. You honor whoever you please and you disgrace whoever you please. All good is in your hands. Surely you alone are most capable of everything. You cause the night to pass into the day and the day to pass into the night. You bring forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living. And you provide for whoever you will without limit. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us His kalam. He sent us His book, He sent us His speech, His word through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us how to navigate this life so that we can become real winners of this race. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, whoever does good, whether male or female, and is a believer, two conditions, must have iman, must do good. We will surely bless them with a beautiful life, hayatan tayyiba, with a good life, pure life. And we will certainly grant them according to the best of their deeds. See the mercy of Allah. Allah is saying, I will give them for all the good they did, but I will not reward them for each action according to the value of that action. I will reward them for each action according to the value of the best of their actions. See the generosity of Allah. Only Allah can be this generous. This is the way of Islam. To show us this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah said, indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example for whoever has hope in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. Simplicity of expression is the surest indicator of total mastery of the subject and enables the presenter to present it in a way that can be easily understood by everyone. As someone said, mastery is to be able to express the idea in such a way that a 5-year-old can understand it. Who can do that better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself? He created the world, He created its rules, and He created its outcomes. He told us that the way to live is to follow His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always be aware that we will die, that can happen at any time, that winners are decided at the end of the race. So focus on winning the race and not get distracted by anything at all. And if we do this, then we will have a beautiful life on earth and Jannah in the hereafter. Now what can be simpler than that? I ask Allah this for all of us. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ اجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.